Okay, so welcome to the Joy-Filled Christian. Have you ever given anyone a gift and you found out that they never used it, or maybe they regifted it to somebody? Has that ever happened to you? Happened to me with my grandmother, and I loved my grandmother. I spent the night with my grandmother till I was 32 years old, at least once a week. That's how much I loved her. And when I started making a little bit of money, I started buying her beautiful clothes to wear to church or to showers or what few social kind of things she went to. And she was a country woman. So she had never bought herself nice clothes before. And so she would sort of priss around when she wore them. She just really felt cute in those clothes. But the one that I really splurged on, there was this, I'll never forget, this gorgeous beige suit that I had bought her. And I didn't see her wear it, but I wasn't concerned about that because she went to church in Canton, Georgia, and I went to church in Atlanta. So I thought, well, I'm just not seeing her wear it. But when she died, I saw that suit in her closet. We were cleaning out her closet. There it was with the tags still on it. And I thought, she never wore that suit. I was so disappointed. It was the prettiest thing I'd ever bought her. And my aunt said, well, she was saving it for a special occasion. So I think about the Lord and how he must feel about us, because we have all these gifts that, like my grandmother, she was grateful for it. She acknowledged it, the gift to me, but she never really took it out, wore it around, and enjoyed it. And that's what this class is about. It's about the gifts. Every week we're going to come in here and we're going to open up a different gift of God, and we're going to focus on it. It may be a gift that we hadn't thought about in a while. And they're not the spiritual gifts, because I feel like most people at Apostles have had that several times. But these are other gifts, and we're going to take it. We're going to open up. We're going to look at it. We're going to talk to God about it. We're going to thank him for it. And we're just going to, it's an acknowledgement class. You know, he doesn't want us just to wait for our eternal reward. He wants our joy to be full and not just adequate. That's what he wants for us. And so that's what we're going to do. I don't want you to worry that this is prosperity gospel. Please, that was my biggest concern, is that someone would see this and say, oh, that's prosperity. It's not prosperity gospel when one of the gifts is suffering, sanctification through suffering. It's not prosperity gospel if you talk, we're going to talk next week about how to take a fall. And the Lord will let you fall. He will let things be sifted through his fingers, but you've got the solid rock. And so it's gifts like that. It's the full context of the gifts. It's not just the perks and the supernatural. I feel like a lot of people have shied away from the gifts that we're going to be talking about because we're so afraid of the prosperity gospel. We are so hesitant. Even as a child, I know pastors used to sort of sternly warn us about, don't just love your salvation for fire insurance. You know, don't just love the Lord for what he can do for you. And it almost made me guilty about thinking about what he wants to do for me. And I think so a lot of Christians who are worshiping him for himself tend to sort of shy away sometimes from fully enjoying the gifts. And we want to, you know, the picture on the cover of this book is, you know, they're olive. We're supposed to bear fruit. And the fruit that people see is our joy. That's part of it. And that's what is very winsome. I don't know about you, but I hear Dr. Youssef talk about the people that he meets in his building. And I thought, it's just because he's so effervescent. You know, they're drawn to that. They're not drawn to him. He is very, very smart. But I think it's the joy that they're curious about Christianity. And I've had people in the workplace to me, I hope they don't mean it in a bad way, they'll go, I can't believe you're a Christian, because, and you know, that may not be all good, but But I think, you know, just the joy and the what comes from you is what wins people to Christ and makes them curious about your faith. So these are magnificent, extravagant gifts, and they are ones that are in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So this is my first apology of the day. I will tell you, I was a last minute addition to this class, was not supposed to be the teacher. Well, I was, but didn't know it. And I had to write this book in 2 weeks. And so you're going to see typos. And I ask you, if you will, if you're on Zoom, welcome Zoomers. I'm going to ask you to email me the errors you find, and if you're in the classroom, I'll just put my book out there and you can just write all over it and tell me all the stuff I did wrong. But I think the scriptures are correct because I copied and pasted them. That's the most important thing. That's the first apology. And see, there are more apologies to come. Believe me, there's just a whole bunch of them. Okay, let's pass the title page. There's a page that says, Come Enjoy the Word of God with Us. And if you don't have a book, there's a book in the back of the room. If you're a Zoomer and don't have a book, email me and I will try to find a way to get you a book. The books have been out on the counter at the women's ministry spot for some time. But if you still don't have a book, even the lesson for next week, I can email you the lesson just for next week, not the whole book. Okay, so the scripture that we're going to start with is Amos 8, 11 through 12. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. It's pretty sobering. It seems to me that the world is staggering right now, that they are searching. The fact that you're here or you're on Zoom at 6:45 in the morning tells me that you know where wisdom is found. You know where help, divine help is found. You know where to go. You're not staggering. You are going in the right direction. And I want to thank you all for blessing me by being here. When I saw the roster of who was going to be in this class, I honestly, for about a day, said, I'm not doing a lesson. We don't need to do a lesson. We can just have discussion. It's going to be, but then I thought, if they come at 6:45, they'll expect a lesson. So kind of tossed that idea. And if you are in your first few years of being a Christian and you don't have a lot of Bible knowledge, wow, did you come into the right place? Because you're going to be so blessed by the people in this room when we do the discussion. And that's one of the alarms that you'll hear go off, is to tell me to stop talking and let the rest of you do the discussion. I also have a hello for you from Carolyn Caswell. I had dinner with her Friday night, and you know, she taught it for 20 years, I think. And Lori Harris taught it for many years, and you know, both of them great teachers. Carolyn sends her love. She's so excited about, not excited enough to be here at 6:45, but she's very, very excited about all of you, and she's praying for you. And that's as good as it gets to get Carolyn to pray for you. I will say that in this class, we are going to talk about some controversial subjects, and they're subjects that, because those are part of the gifts. And again, many people have shied away because we know, I think you probably have friends like I do, who got off on a tangent of chasing an experience instead of chasing God. They want the sensational experience and all that. And so some of the things we're going to be talking about are a little bit controversial, but, you know, we're going to talk about them in the context of the Bible, and we're going to enjoy them. On the table of contents, which is called the plan of study here in the book, I will say you'll notice right away that it's not sequential. I don't know about you, but the kind of Bible study that I prefer is where we take one book of the Bible and we go verse by verse and we study that. And I'm going to apologize ahead of time that this is not that. This is definitely what the Lord has told me to teach. Mm-hmm. So I have no choice, but it will not be verse by verse, because these gifts, again, are in the Old Testament and they are in the New Testament. And I want every week to show that. And every week we're going to take a different person in the Bible. We'll take a gift and we'll see how that gift was operational in that person's life, whether it's Noah or Moses or whomever. And they're all over the Bible. And so like this week, the first lesson is about the earth is yours for the taking. And next week, we're going to do two gifts, the rest of the soul and a loving landing place when you fall. Rest of the soul is actually the idea that I had that inspired this course. I feel like it's really needed right now everywhere. True rest, honest rest. So next week we're going to talk about that. The verse on page one that we're going to talk about this morning, once the Lord gave me this idea about all these gifts, I started looking at many verses quite differently. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Mm-hmm. I saw that differently. And I started thinking about that word benefits. And when I think of benefits, I think of HR. And when you go to a new company, because I worked for many years with a lot of HR people. And I thought of when you go to work for a great company with great benefits, what happens? And when you think of great companies who have super benefits, who do you think about?
Nobody can remember one.
I think of Google. I've always heard about their benefits. Like you walk in the first day and they go, here, take your dry cleaning over here. We'll take care of that. Over here, we have any kind of food you want, ethnic, vegan, whatever you want. Come over here. We'll feed you free. Or, oh, you're having trouble trying to decide what to do with your elderly parents. We'll do all the legwork. We'll do all the research. We'll do all this for you. Those are great benefits. That's nothing compared to the day you say yes to Jesus. Mm-hmm. The benefits you get on day one are incredible. And that's a lot about what this class is about. And so that's what we're going to do this time. We've already done the intros. Zimmers, I apologize to you that we were late getting you in here. We have had introductions here in the classroom. You are muted right now, but we will unmute you for the discussion. But this is the agenda that we will be following, not today. Today's a different sort of day because we wanted to meet each other and get started. But after today, here's what I hope will happen. On page three, at 6:45 in the morning, we'll have our announcements and opening prayer. 6:50, we will start the lesson, and I'll cover that. At 7:15, I hope to stop and do the discussion. Not today, we won't do that. And then at 7:40, you will start writing down your prayer request. In the middle of your table, if you're in the classroom, there's a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, for each person, there is a verse that I will be praying for you this week. And on the back of that, you can write your prayer request and give those to Teresa.
Or you can leave them on the table.
Oh, that's right.
Please put your name on it so we can pray for you by name.
This is why she makes the big bucks. Okay. So that's what we're going to do. The class will dismiss at 7:45. We will not discuss the prayer request in class. Now, those of you who don't need to scoot off to work, if you want to stay after and talk about your prayer request, we can do that. But officially, the class will end at 7:45. All right, let's get into the lesson finally. If I were to take you on a private jet to Tuscany, and fly you out to the rolling hills of Tuscany and take you out and walk you to a beautiful villa and walk you out on the balcony and have you look from the balcony onto the rolling land, the vineyards, the olive trees and all that. And I would turn to you and I'd say, this is yours. You have a benefactor. Someone has deeded you all of this. They've given this to you for a gift because you are their beloved and you are their most cherished person. How would you feel? Well, we have more than that. We have the earth. The Lord has given us the earth. Now, I've never been to Tuscany, but it must be beautiful because people that go want to go over and over again. But here in Georgia, what are some beautiful things that, I could show you from the earth?
Just the trees.
The trees in Georgia.
The mountains.
Yes. In Georgia, you have all of it. That's what's so good about Georgia. So he created these for you, these beautiful and amazing gifts, these extravagant gifts. Psalm 115:16 says, "The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man." That's your gift. I want to read that one more time because I don't know. I saw that verse differently after he gave me this topic. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The scene in Genesis 1 where he's creating the earth, and I just see him standing there and he's creating the expanses of the sea and the sky and the earth, and all of that's going on. Honestly, when I put myself there, I am stupefied. I am astonished by that whole scene. If I really, really think about it, I stand arrested at his creativity and his power when he does that. But you know, I have never felt like the creation story was my story. Mm-hmm. I felt like Peter's story was my story. I felt like Joseph's story was my story. But I've never felt like the creation story was really my personal story until I started thinking about this. I've really felt like someone else witnessed it, and maybe it was for Adam and Eve or whatever. But until I really looked at Psalm 115:16, I didn't realize that that is my story. And now when I read the creation story, I know he had me in mind when he created every single flower, every single cloud, every single leaf, everything he did. Ministering to me has been on God's mind from before creation. And I look at that all very differently now. He was thinking about me when he came up with grain and livestock and bees and all the wonderful things that he does. He has given this to me. And Hebrews 2:7-8, now I'm on page 6 in the middle of the page. Hebrews 2:7-8 says, "You made him for a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." And as if to remove any doubt at all that this was his intent, I've asked Lori to read Genesis 1:26-30.
"Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, and everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green thing for food.' And it was so."
"I have given you every plant on the earth, dominion, everything given to us, subduing power." Those are all very personal words in that. This is my story. This is your story. It's a very personal story between your benefactor and you. Now, let me be really clear. We don't want to be some like in the early church. And this is the verse from Romans 1:26 in the middle of the page, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We don't want to worship creation. We want to acknowledge his artistry, his power, his glory that nature reminds us of. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, so every creation that he's made should reflect back to him his glory. We should be doing that. Each flower, each droplet of rain, each falling leaf, it adds to this chorus of praise that should be going up to him all day long, every day. God the Creator, God of wonders, Elohim, Lord God Almighty. That's what, when we see his creation, that's what it should be saying to us. Oswald Chambers says, if we are children of God, we have a tremendous treasure in nature, in every wind that blows, in every night and day of the year, in every sign of the sky, in every blossoming, and in every withering of the earth. There's a real coming of God to us if we will simply use our starved imaginations to realize it. I love it when I get to the scripture part and I hear all the, all you have to do is just read scripture. You know, it's just wonderful. Okay, Isaiah 40:12, now I'm on page 8, says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? He tells believers to lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. So are you lifting up your eyes? Are you always looking upward to Jehovah when you see that first spring daffodil, the summer sunflower, the colors of autumn? Are you prompted to praise? Are you marveling at all the things he's painted and decorated? I'm looking at Amy. Amy does everything beautifully. Her home, her food, her meals are works of art, you know. And so, I'm using the very best examples here. I want you to think about how much more God's artistry is in every little and big thing that he has made for our enjoyment. That's his intent, to bless us because he loves you.